racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back and haven't had a chance yet to talk about yesterday's action at Fairgrounds. But even though things came off the turf, it still was a nice sequence and caught that pick five. Actually, paid twice the parlay with lots of formful runners and there a couple of second choices that made it worthwhile, and including the stake winner, Chris Hartman, with LZ. And LZ, you know, did figure to, you know, to be the speed, even with Intimistic, you know, being the, you know, the obvious favorite in there, for Brendan Walsh. But, LZ, Mitch Merle just gunned her, and it really was never in doubt. She wins the Mardi Gras. And I don't know if, I think some people saw the, and had some fun with the tweet when Tom Amos won earlier at the start. Actually, I think, was that the opening? Was that the first leg? Yeah, it was the first leg of the pick five. There was the Violence filly that won the allowance race that started the sequence. And Save is now 2-for-2. And Mineola Farm and Eclipse, Aaron Wellman and partners involved. And this is potentially a really nice three-year-old filly going forward. Back-to-back maiden win, and now comes back and you know, wins her second start. And it made me think how often Amos has won on the Mardi Gras card, on the Fat Tuesday card. And so I started going back, and he's had a win 5 of the last 6 years on Fat Tuesday. So and I put up that hysterical picture from a parade the year that he did the, after the Saints had been victimized by questionable officiating, and he went as a penalty flag. Well, it was hysterical. So I'll go through a couple. There were a couple other there was the maiden winner too. Adventuring, and it was a nice sequence. I had fun playing yesterday. Hope you guys played along, and it didn't take, you know, the all A approach worked out. $18 ticket for, you know, brought back 111, so it was worthwhile. Sid Fernando standing by. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. Sid, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Just had a fun opening hour and change, and I don't know how we change it up when it comes to talking about the successful, particularly the successful 3-year-olds. You know, we're seeing certain names, Sid, that just bring us back to, you know, similar themes. And here was Mandaloon getting blinkered and, you know, turning the tables on the LeCompte foes to win that Risen Star, and did it earning a significant figure. When we start getting into the 9 furlongs, the route goers are going to have to take a step forward. And, here's the latest Into Mischief to win a Derby prep, Mandaloon.
Yeah, it's first. I mean, he's a terrific stallion, obviously, and you know, it was pretty obvious a few years ago that he was getting these better mares that had more stamina to them. In fact, I'd written an article in 2019 saying that it's only a matter of time before his horses start winning at 9 furlongs and above. Then in 2020, of course, he had a Derby and Breeders' Cup Classic winner. Now he's got, a horse like Mandaloon. here he's got, with Bob Baffert, he's got Life is Good. He's got, you know, so many, he's got, what, Highly Motivated, another good Into Mischief that's actually a homebred for Clara Rick Stables. So, you know, I mean, and he's a horse that gets black type winners every weekend or black type horses. I mean, he's just an incredible stallion. A horse that started off as a horse with a speed profile, but he's what great pedigree here is Franco Varola would have described as what he described, characterized as a quote unquote brilliant, a trans brilliant stallion, meaning that a horse that's got a ton of speed, but you can breed stamina mares to him, and he works with that, and those. He benefits, and the mares benefit because they actually, you know, go run fast and run longer, as opposed to what he would characterize as a pure brilliant stallion, which is a horse that, no matter what you breed to him, he seems to only get speed. So, yeah, that's a bit of pedigree theory, but, you know, Mandaloon, a homebred for Judmont, they've been using this horse, in recent years. You notice that with that filly that died, Taraz, Honest Mischief, who's gone to stud at Becky Thomas's sequel, bred the same way by Into Mischief out of an Empire Maker mare. I read somewhere they're sending 8 mares to him this year. So, you know, it's something that they followed. And now that filly Taraz, if you recall, the one that died, she also was by Into Mischief out of an Empire Maker mare. If you remember her physically, she seemed to be a very big filly. If you watched Mandaloon, you know, all I could see is on the screen, he appears to be a big colt. I noticed Judmont had a winner on turf the other day. I forget his name. Into Mischief, out of a Empire Maker mare. So, you know, you see what they're doing, and it's, you know, they've seized upon something here, and it's certainly working for them.
I'm trying to. I think I saw that. I think I know the horse. I'm going to look that up. Talk a little bit, and I'm glad you reminded about Taraz, because that, you know, that's kind of an interesting, you know, an interesting parallel, and it demonstrates a lot of the things, Sid, that you touch on. Focus and you know, an approach, and stressing certain advantages, and you know, it's, you know, the effort of generations of breeding, and you know, even with, obviously, with you know, with Prince Abdullah Gan and Prince Khalid, and they're, you know, they've got this incredible operation that, you know, is positioned to continue. Floriform is the, I think, was the other.
That's right, Floriform, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, Floriform, out of an Empire Maker mare.
Yes, July Jasmine. Mm-hmm. This was for Mott at, this was that nightcap, I think, at Gulfstream the other day. Yeah, it was. It was. That dam, it's funny, the dam, the Empire Maker dam, was out of a Gone West mare, and was a modest winner. She was a Judmont homebred, won once for $37,000. It's always interesting.
Honest Mischief, by the way, was out of a Seattle slew mare, but it's Honest Lady, and of course that's the family of Empire Maker. Yeah,
you bet. That's right. I mean, so there's all these harmonies. Let me just, I've actually got Therese up on the screen. Silk Root, who was out of a Danzig mare, who was out of a Roberto mare, out of a Raisin Native mare.
Yeah, so you see the stamina that
Yes. They've
been breeding to into mischief, right? And so as you point out, this horse got a very big buyer figure. What, 98?
98.
Yeah, 98. And, you know, it's basically, you know, it's just showing you that Into Mischief, that early reputation he got as a sire of Sprinter Milers, is his profile is changing. As a matter of fact, I'll tweet that article I wrote on, well, I can't tweet. I'm off Twitter.
Well, I think Francis put it out. Either Francis did or Sire Watch circulated it, and I retweeted it. But I'll dig it out myself.
Yeah.
You know, and looking at Mandaloon, and we should mention, you know, with this Into Mischief scenario, you know, with Authentic, right now there's Mandaloon and there's Life Is Good. So there's a two-pronged, you know, two-headed monster, essentially, that's involved here, you know, toward Derby. But Mandaloon, the damn brooch, by Empire Maker, out of a Dan Seeley mare, and herself out of a Distant View mare, out of a His Majesty mare. It's a pretty amazing. You've got a combination essentially of two, you know, of the most impressive families of Judmont, with Hasili and Toussaint, that mare.
Yeah, you mean Toussaint with Empire Maker? Yeah,
and right on the sire line. Yeah. There's Toussaint, right. and on the dam side, because Dan Seeley is the broodmare sire of Daring Diva, Brooch's Dam, has Seeley. So this is really, you know, it's got Prince Cali just all over it.
And the dam herself, Brooch, by the way, she won four of eight starts. She was a, you know, grade two winner. And, I believe she also raced in Europe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yep. She won the Landwads stud at the Curra, and she won something at Gowran, won a minor stake at Gowran Park as well.
And she was out of, you know, the Dan Seeley mare you're talking about is a Daring Diva. It was a very, very good filly. She was a high-weighted older mare on the Irish Free Handicap between 7 and 9.5 furlongs. So, you know, she was a Group One winner, very highly rated, and. Yeah, you have basically other stuff in this pedigree that, you know, is typically Judmont. If you look at Brooch, Brooch's sire is Empire Maker, right? Empire Maker was a homebred for Judmont. If you look at the second dam, Daring Diva, she's by Dan Seeley. Dan Seeley was a homebred for Judmont. These are the sires of the dams. The third dam, Aspiring Diva, is by Distant View. Distant View is a homebred for Judmont. Yeah. So we're talking about the sires of these mares were, you know, homebred stallions, which just shows you how prevalent, you know, Judmont's stamp is on this pedigree, because not only did they breed the mares, but they bred the sires of those mares.
You know who's prominent in here with Daring Diva? I'm just noticing she's 5x4 to His Majesty, and the Rebo line and His Majesty being out of Flower Bowl, that's a you know, that's a stout addition in here that ties, of course, to Galbraith and you know, the great Darby Dan program.
Mm-hmm. So Mandaloon himself is in red 5x5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. The Mandaloon is inbred 5x5 to His Majesty.
I wasn't even. Yeah, I was just looking at her. I was just looking at Bridge, actually. But yeah, ticking back. Very nice. Now, Okay, the dam of the broodmare sire of Battle Creek Girl, Tricky Creek's dam. And of course, he got Leslie's Lady. Into Mischief, Beholder, and Company.
So, to recap to your listeners, Brooch, the Dam of Mandaloon, is inbred to His Majesty, and then Mandaloon himself is inbred to His Majesty. So there are three crosses to him, His Majesty right there in the pedigree. And His Majesty, of course, is... was a full brother to Grouse Dark, son of Rebo, and is known as, you know, a stamina influence.
Now, it you know, it's interesting that, and Sid, you could I'll throw this out there for you to, I'll give you the line, and you can run with it like a marlin. It's interesting how organically. It seems Into Mischief is making this transition, and you know, with his growing reputation. I mean, it's the reputation's arrived. It doesn't have to grow much anymore. But with the classic win, I'd love you to parallel him to Stormcat, who seemingly, you know, seemed destined or expected to have classic success, but seemed to top out at about a mile and a 16th with his best Sons and Daughters. And whether, you know, whether there's, I assume, you know, some breeding acumen involved here with, you know, the you know, generations and making decisions. I mean, I can see, for instance, I mean, look at what the Judmont's decision making. They brought Brooch to Spitestown, and then three straight times now to Into Mischief. So they stayed with Into Mischief, not even knowing what they were going to get with Mandaloon.
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, at that point, you know, they know that Into Mischief was a really outstanding stallion. I mean, the years that Mandaloon and Life is Good, when they bred to him, at that the time these mares were conceived, so the current three-year-olds of 2021 for Into Mischief were conceived on a $75,000 stud fee, which is a pretty good stud fee. Of course, he's 225 down. They were, however, conceived on the impression that he was a speed sire alone, which is why they were sending these Empire Maker mares to stretch him out. But they knew at that time, though, at that point, when you're standing for $75,000, and don't forget, at one point, Into Mischief was as low as 7,500, and he'd already gone up to 75,000, and he was turning heads back then. You know, we assisted the West when mating up Life is Good, the other Into Mischief we're talking about, and at that point, as a contrast, you know, Gary and Mary West and their racing manager, Ben Glass, they had a really good-looking colt, and they're always looking for classic prospects. And this just gives you the view prevailing view at the time was that the horse was not going to stay. Therefore, they sold the horse as a yearling. And they got $525,000 for it. But, you know, as people looking for classic prospects, they felt that, you know, they had some homebred and auction purchases that were probably better, and so they sold it like it's good. Into Mischief, for Jugmon as a home breeder, they sent these Empire Maker mares and, you know, expecting to get that speed to blend with the stamina, and that's what they're getting now. And it's really something to see. As far as Stormcat is concerned, you know, Stormcat got very fast horses, but he also got horses that could stay as well when bred for it. I mean, he had, in this country, of course, Damasco Cat, but his best horse was the Iron Horse, Giants Causeway, you know, who could mix it up to 10 furlongs with anybody.
Are they a fair parallel?
Oh, they're a fair parallel because both of them are outstanding stallions, and they're from the same sire line, because Into Mischief is a Stormcat line sire. They were both outstanding at two and didn't really train on afterwards. They have musculature, and, you know, you can, with both horses, if you go to a yearling show, it's so easy to spot them. And, you know, they stamp their foals, and they do have very similar profiles. The one profile that Into Mischief is actually developing, and that colt, I forget his name again, the Jugmon colt on turf I'm just mentioned to you about.
You know, <for him.
laughs> he was a turf winner, and if you look closer, you're going to see that Into Mischief is getting more and more turf horses too. And this is what happened with Stormcat, and, you know, Stormcat was a horse. The only parallel that isn't there yet, and I'll explain this to you, was that Coolmore jumped on Stormcat. And that's why so many of the Stormcats raced in Europe. And they did well there, you know. Highlighted by Giants Causeway. Coolmore jumps on stallions early on when they see the potential. They jumped on Warfront, for example. That's why you have so many of the Warfronts in Europe. They didn't obviously jump on Into Mischief early, did they? Because you haven't seen them with a bunch of Into Mischiefs in Europe. However, I think that, you know, this horse is showing that he can get some turf winners now, whether they're going to be American turf winners or, you know, whether he'll eventually have a European turf winner, that remains to be seen. But he's such a good stallion, you know. And if you can find it, just Google my name with Into Mischief, and that article will come out that I referenced earlier, because that actually gives a historical look at how Into Mischief started off cheap and how his profile has continued to change as he's made his own way. Now, he's out of that incredible mare, and he was the first, and then he was followed by Beholder and Mendelssohn. But I point out in there, had he been had it been the other way around and he followed Beholder and Mendelssohn, when he went to stud, he would have stood for a far higher fee and been thought of as a much more attractive stallion prospect in that scenario, and he would have gotten better merits in the beginning. But because of the way things worked out, he wasn't viewed as highly, but his pedigree was obviously the same pedigree, just got, you know, just filled in. And so he was actually, you know, a terrific stud prospect. People just didn't know it at the time.
It, you know, and one thing, and I didn't even realize that Leslie's Lady has got some unraced products on the ground. You know, her last reported foal is a Cantheros filly. In fact, her last three babies are a Cantheros filly, a Not This Time filly, and an American Pharoah. There's an American Pharoah 3-year-old that hasn't raced yet, America's Joy. And there was a colt after Mendelssohn, in fact, by Medaglia d'Oro, who never made to the races. He was now 4. Wasn't even named.
Now, since you have that pedigree up, I want to point out something to you, and you can see it. But first, I'm going to talk about that Medaglia d'Oro. That thing looked like a giraffe. I mean, I saw a photo of it, and I was stunned at, you know, what that horse came out looking like, and I'm not surprised he hasn't raced. However, getting to your point about her last two foals are by Not This Time and Cantheros, I want to point out something to you so you can actually look at that pedigree and notice this, and then also then understand why Cantheros and Not This Time were her last two mates. If you look at her pedigree, you'll see that all her successes have been with Stormcat Line stallions. She's been bred to great stallions like Medaglia d'Oro, nothing, right? Who else has she been bred to in her recent commercial successes?
Well, Scat Daddy to get Mendelssohn.
So that's the Stormcat Line, Scat Daddy. Henny Hughes, older, not a very good Stormcat Line. And then, of course, Harlan's Holiday for Into Mischief, right?
Yep.
Now, the Medaglia d'Oro hasn't done anything. The American Pharoah, which was an $8.2 million yearling, if I'm not mistaken, is yet to do anything, right? But now, you understand why she's gone. They've sent her back to Not This Time, then Cantheros. Not This Time is the son of Giant's Causeway, Stormcat Line horse. And Cantheros, as we discussed just last week when we were talking about John Secura's stallions there, Cantheros, Stormcat Line stallion, you know, by Lionheart, Tale of the Cat, Stormcat. They themselves have gone back to the line that has worked with this mare. This mare, however you want to say it, the stats bear it out. She lights it up with Stormcat Line stallions.
Interesting. And I should go later. I'll go look. I want to look as well at the daughters. It is amazing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And they're the 3-year-old and the 2-year-old, obviously, were, you know, still have chances. The American Pharoah and the Not This Time, you know, that'll debut.
What's the American Pharoah's name?
America's Joy.
I'm going to see if there's any workouts.
There you go. There you go. It really is a feast or famine that has gone on with her.
Exactly.
Yeah, there is.
And the famine is when they go outside of Stormcat Lines.
Oh, okay. It's the Mandy Pope. It's that Mandy Pope $8 million baby.
Yeah, $8.2 million, and that's full. That's 3 right now. I got it. no workouts yet. And I told somebody the day that I made a bet with somebody the day that horse sold, I said, that horse will never run.
Wow.
Not for any other reason than for this mare.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Of course, this is the Mitchells, right?
There are just some mares, and if you've studied pedigrees for years, you suddenly notice, for whatever reason it is, some mares only work with certain sire lines. Can you look up another mare right now that I can give you an example?
Sure.
Look up the mare Brown Berry. Very distinguished stakes producer, right? You see all the stakes winners she's had?
Sure.
Now you look at all the horses that weren't stakes winners that she had first, okay? They were by some really good stallions, weren't they? I mean, there were a lot of great stallions that she was bred to that she didn't have any success with. But if you look at all her really good horses, they were all, and tying back to Rebo with His Majesty Grouse Dart, they were all Rebo line stallions.
Hmm.
Every single one of the good ones were Rebo line stallions. Okay.
Well, Avatar, Grouse Dart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at Hours After, the French Derby winner by Alleged. Okay, that goes Hoist the Flag, Tom Rolfe, Rebo.
The Prince Royal, the Prince Royal that she produced, Unconscious, that won
That's
a
Rebo.
Bunch of yeah,
but
won the Stroop.
When she's bred to when she's bred to other stallions. Like she was bred to Damascus a couple of times, Vaguely Noble, Sir Ivor, Nureyev, nothing like what she got with these other horses.
Unbelievable. It's amazing. It is. You know what's strange? Wouldn't breeders. How quickly in the scheme of things, and of course, mares also, get sold for different reasons too, and change hands. So, some of that probably enters into it, but the continuity aspect, Sid, in making the decisions, you would think that it would become, with that long of a produce line, you would think that it would become pretty ingrained. I mean that we're going to Rebo Sons.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's come back to Leslie's Lady to give you the example, because in this case there's continuity since the success with Clarkland Farm. So Clarkland Farm is the one that's gone and bred this mare back to Stormcat Line Stallions, with Not This Time and Kent Arrows. But what they did when they bred to American Pharoah and Medaglia d'Oro is very simple. They went for the commercial mating to sell in the sales ring. With Medaglia d'Oro, they got an awful-looking physical giraffe that couldn't sell. With American Pharoah, they hit a beautiful physical specimen that did sell. They got $8.2 million. So they mission was accomplished with that one. With the Medaglia d'Oro, it wasn't. Now they've gone back to two Stormcat lines to keep the produce. And those are the two that I'm sure one of those two, I bet, will end up being a stakes horse. Certainly bred on that Stormcat line.
Amazing.
That succeeded with, yeah.
Amazing. Well, and to kind of round out some of the references that I into Mischief success, there's an aspect that hasn't, I don't think, has really been appreciated yet, and that's the fact that his horses are seemingly staying sound into maturity. You look at this list, yeah, and you know, Into Mystic, you know, was second yesterday, but you know, she's 5 years old. She's My Gem, as well as a 5 year old mare. You talked about Turf Success. What about Largent, who's a gelding, so he's going to be around. He's 5 years old. You know, then there's the 4 year old Frank's Roquette, you know, staying on, and yeah, Mischievous Alex on Saturday. I talked to Safi Joseph yesterday, and it looks like he's going to be a prominent sprint player this year. So you know, they're maturing, the ones that are staying around, and we got Long, Short, Turf, Dirt. Into Mystic is a filly and mare turf sprinter by trade. So there's a little bit of everything going on here. Largent, a mile and beyond on the grass.
Yeah, and you know what's really interesting about Into Mischief? That, you know, really scuttles the argument about what breeders were complaining about with all-weather racing, was they largely feel the movement to get rid of all weather, because what they were complaining was that you can't breed a good American stallion that's an all weather runner on dirt, for dirt. Okay, and if you go back and look at Into Mischief, he was an all weather. He won the Cash Call Security on the all weather. He is the premier stallion on dirt right now, and he made his name on all weather, which, you know, just shoots that argument to smithereens. And if you look at a horse from John Sikora's farm, Violence, same way, you know, 2-year-old form, actually won the same race, all weather. And, you know, he comes out with sprinters like Volatile. On dirt.
Well, this is obviously a story that is going to continue, and there's no end in sight, frankly. You know, on the track and in the sales ring, Sid, we might as well stay for another 6-7 minutes to close out the hour. Ed DeRosa is going to join us, and then we've got Seth Merrill coming in. But
how is Ed DeRosa, by the way?
Ed seems good. He's well. Yeah.
Give him my regards.
Well,
I used to see his. You know,